Good morning, everyone. Today's service is going to be a little bit different because myself and the team are leading it. But we are going to share our experiences of Mozambique and also share a short message with you about stuff that we've learned while we've been in Mozambique. So we'll start by introducing ourselves. I'm Alex. I'm a member of St. Thomas's. I'm 18. I like netball and ice cream.
I'm Jack. I'm 19. I'm from Essex. I like sport and I like taking pictures of frogs.
I'm Rebecca. I'm 22. I'm from Somerset. I like reading and my favourite animal is a Highland cow.
I'm Andrew. I'm from Aberdeenshire. I like music and I quite like sandwiches as a food.
So do any of you know where Mozambique is? East Africa, yes. So it's in the southeast of Africa, just above South Africa. And we were staying in Beira, which is the second biggest city in Mozambique, and right on the coast, so our house was 5 minutes away from the beach. I'm now going to read Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. I'm now going to pray. Dear Lord, yeah, thank you that you're the great God and the King above all gods. Thank you that we can all come together and worship you today. I pray that you will just be in this place and be in our hearts today, Lord. Amen.
So we're now going to explain to you about the projects that we were involved in while we were out in Mozambique. So we were in six main projects. The first one was Pepe. And Pepe is a preschool program that's run by churches. Originally it came from Brazil and Brazilian missionaries brought it over to Mozambique. And it's been a real success because it's an opportunity for children to actually be children. A lot of them are kind of grown up already from very young age to be able to cook and clean and look after babies. So for them to be able to run around and play games and have a chance to start learning the alphabet and numbers is a really amazing thing that's only been happening for not very long. It's quite new. And Andrew and I went to one that was run by Mozambican people. It was one of the poorest Pepes. They really lacked resources. But we found that the kids were up for playing with anything. And we really enjoyed it. It was great to walk in every morning and they'd run up to you and remember you all the time. And it's amazing how much kids remember. And that always caught us off guard. And Jack and Rebecca, they went to a Brazilian Pepe. So it was run by Brazilian missionaries. And it had three classrooms, whereas ours just had one classroom. But we split ours in the middle with one bench to try and separate into four-year-olds and five-year-olds. But they would run in between because, yeah, it just, there was no way of controlling 50 children in a little room. But the Jack and Rebecca's one, it was Jack was working with the older ones and Rebecca was working with younger ones playing more games. So yeah, we really enjoyed Pepe and I think it was your favourite part, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just enjoyed playing with the kids and stuff. It was really good to see how much joy and energy they had about everything, it was really cool to see.
So our second project was at a school called Radar's Rays, which was set up by some Australian missionaries a while ago. Now it's run by some more Zimbabweans and Mozambican teachers. So it's a Christian school. You have to pay slightly more to go to this school. So it's sort of the equivalent of private school. But you'd have to pay to go to every school in Mozambique. So it wasn't too different. The class size is around 60. So we all taught. So Rebecca taught in the preschool. I taught PE. Alex taught English. And Andrew taught IT. So we each had a class that we worked with in the primary school. Secondary school is in the morning and primary school is in the afternoon. So then the kids could work the other half of the day. It was their Christmas summer holidays while we were out there. So we did a bit of admin work in the time that they were off.
This is a holiday club, which was our third project. So over the big summer holidays, two afternoons a week, we did a holiday club. So to start with, me and Jack were doing arts and games. Alex was teaching English and Andrew was doing music. So we did that up until Christmas. So then it was about 50 children. Then after Christmas, a lot of the children started going back to school. So we had maybe like 10 to 15. So we did it a bit more informal all together. Alex and Andrew taught them a ceilidh, which they loved doing, and then we also did a few games with them. Before the holidays, they were redecorating all the walls of the outside of the church, so we did a lot of the sanding down, and then me and Jack also painted it. So they chose green because that's the colour of hope, and they wanted to show the hope for the children.
We also went to this boys' orphanage called Kadesh, which is just outside Beira. And this was set up by an American man and a British lady. And they take in boys from the streets, and they have boys about ages 6 to 18. In Mozambique, the girls are viewed as very useful by the extended family because they can do stuff like cook and clean and look after the children, whereas the boys, they just see them as another mouth to feed and another person's education to pay for, so they're often the ones that get left. So this orphanage took them in and taught them how to cook and clean and weld and build things, and also taught them English and Portuguese because they often came in just speaking their tribal language. So this was a very valuable place for them because when they left, they became immensely employable because they had all these skills that a lot of people just didn't have. We met up with some ex-boys on our last day there, and they'd all got into really good jobs, which is really encouraging to see.
We also did an English club. So once our Portuguese was good enough, so about Christmas time, we set up an English club at church, and we had about 10 people come along, and we split them into two groups, so some who already knew quite a bit of English, and some who'd never done any English before. And we really enjoyed English club. The picture on the right shows us taking a whiteboard in a Shapa, and Shapas are the mini buses that we used to get around. And they were already extremely tight with the four of us in the back seat, let alone trying to get a whiteboard in, and we used to put it through the window to try and get it in and out. But yeah, we needed to take that with us for something to teach with. And we really just enjoyed it because it gave us a chance to get to know the young people of the church more, because it was majority young people who came to the English club. And we got to play games, and we introduced them to Uno, which was a great way of teaching them colours and numbers at the same time.
Our last project was our only project that ran the whole way through. It was a missionary kids club for Brazilian missionary children. It was on a Saturday morning. We would play games with them, and we also went through the Book of John. Alex and Jack did the older children and did a lot of like discussion based on what they were reading. And then me and Andrew did crafts to do with it. And we also did dramas and puppet shows sometimes. And it was just a really great project because it was also our only project in English. So we could really get to know the children and just build relationships with them. We also had two big parties with them, so a Christmas one where the Limbo picture's from, so we did games like Limbo, and then the other one was right at the end of our time there, and we did an egg roulette where we boiled some eggs and had one egg which wasn't boiled and then was cracking it on their eggs, but sadly it went a bit wrong, so nobody actually got the unboiled one on their head.
So now it's up to you to find out what you'd like to know about. So if somebody wants to shout out one, and we'll click on it, and then that will go to that slide. Okay.
So as you can see, we are wearing these matching outfits, which are made from a material that's known as capelana in Mozambique. So capelana is a big strip of fabric, like the Jack's wearing a shirt made of capelana as well. Capelana is a big strip of fabric, about 2 meters long, and it can be made into literally anything you can think of, like bags, purses, dresses, shirts, t-shirts, all sorts of different things. So basically what you do is you buy the material and then you take it to somebody and they'll make it into something. So they loved it when we turned up at church wearing these, because matching outfits is a really big thing in Mozambique. So they absolutely loved it when we came to church wearing those.
Now, if you were listening carefully, Alex did mention the language that they speak in Mozambique. Does anyone know?
Portuguese,
good listening. So, does anyone know any of these phrases, like bom dia, ciao, obrigado? You can shout out. Como está?
Yes.
How are
yes.
you? Good, yes. Yeah. Bom dia. Nice. Ciao. Yeah. Bye. Good. So, vamos orar means let's pray. Tudo bem means... I'm okay, I'm all right. And you can ask that as a question as well. So, tudo bem? And then, gracias a Deus is what a lot of people would say after, I'm fine, thank you, thanks be to God. That's what that means.
And one of the other things we noticed while we were out in Mozambique was that children weren't really allowed to express their emotions, especially at school. You weren't allowed to smile in photographs, so I don't know if you can see in this picture, but none of the children are smiling. They're not allowed to show like tears if they hurt themselves or upset, and they're not allowed to laugh at all. So that's why preschool, like Pepe, was such an amazing place for them, because they actually got to be children. Whereas as soon as they get to school, they just have to sit there, expected to be quiet for the whole day.
So as you can see on here, there's lots of pictures of food. So food over there was quite different to here. So the staple food that a lot of them eat is rice and beans. And they also like chicken, but they'll just have that on special occasions. So the picture on the left is of one of the markets. So a lot of their vegetables they'll get from markets. And I personally really enjoyed going to the markets. It was quite fun. But they never would barter for the food. So a few times we would say to one, what would your price be? And then the next one, well, what would your price be? And it would be exactly the same. They were quite loyal in that aspect. And then the top picture on the right is of us eating pineapples. So they eat them like lollipop sticks, basically. And you would often see people just on the side of the road selling them, and then people walking along with these pineapples, and a lot of like mangoes and bananas you could also get on the side of the road. So it was very easy, because we had one just outside our house. So if we needed a banana, we could just go outside. And then the picture of nuts at the bottom on the right was, if you were driving along, if you stopped, they would all come round your car to sell these nuts. And Jack really liked them and brought quite a lot of packets home in his suitcase.
Can anyone guess what temperature it was in that photo? Bearing in mind it's about 35 degrees normally, feels like 45 because of the humidity. What temperature made us put our jumpers on? 15, a bit hotter than 15. It was about 22, 23 degrees in this photo. So we did struggle with the heat quite a lot. You'd walk out of the house and be quite hot. We had fans for sleeping. And if there was a power cut one night, I couldn't sleep personally because it was so hot. So we sweated quite a lot. We loved being in the humidity.
Out of the buttons, the next button, which one would you like to know about?
Challenging moments. So one of the things that we found challenging was the poverty. You'd see lots of people on the side of the road. They'd ask you for money. They'd follow you around. They'd ask you to buy them food, ask you to give them just cash. We weren't allowed to give them just cash, so sometimes we did give them food. And it was great to see when they actually ate the food and were really grateful for that. But it was hard to see the different housing conditions, particularly the straw houses and the mud houses that people lived in. Even though it's a city, most people lived in that kind of accommodation. We were lucky that we lived in a brick-built house, but it was hard to see other people not living in the same accommodation as we were.
Another thing we found challenging was, as we've said, about the language. They spoke Portuguese. And one particular moment for me was in our last month in the preschool. So I had quite a good level of Portuguese by then, but I got given an English nursery rhyme book and was asked to translate this into Portuguese. And I was looking at these nursery rhymes like Humpty Dumpty, just thinking, how on earth will I translate that into Portuguese when most of the words aren't real English anyway? But I managed to tell a story about a little girl called Mary who had a little lamb. It followed her to school, and they seemed to enjoy it.
Another thing that I particularly found difficult was just the sheer amount of things that we had to do each day, like practical-wise. So because the water at the tap isn't safe for us to drink there, you had to go and buy these massive 20-litre bottles of water every couple of days and carry them all the way home. And it's quite difficult when you come home from like a long day at school or project. It's like, oh, no, I've got another thing to do. But I'm not the most practical person anyway, so that exasperated things a little bit, but we got by. So.
My challenging moment was when I met the girl on the right. Her name is Katarina, and the first time I met her was when I went into school and I was doing the English class, and the teacher didn't give me anything to do, so I said to her, oh, is there one specific person who needs help? And she pointed to Katarina, who was sitting right at the back of the classroom, and she said, oh, this girl is dumb, she never completes the work. So I went and sat next to her, and after like the usual touching my hair and making comments about my blue eyes, I managed to say to her, oh, do you want to do the work? And she said, oh, I can't see the work, because she was sitting right at the back of the classroom. So I said, oh, do you have glasses? And she said, no, I can't afford glasses. So I wrote down the questions for her in her book, and she completed it straight away. And she said to me, oh, I'm so thankful. That's the first time I've ever managed to complete work in this class. And every time I went back to school after that, she would always offer to take my bag to the next classroom, because she was like, I want to spend as much time with you as possible. And then we were invited to their graduation. So I went and sat at her table, and we got talking for about an hour, and I asked her, oh, how old are you? And she said, I'm 24. And I was just sitting there like stunned, like, how are you still in school when you're 24 years old? And she said, well, I had a child when I was 18, and she'd raised her son by herself, and now her son is at the same school that she's at. And I was just like so inspired by her. I couldn't believe her perseverance. And what amazed me was every time I spoke to her and she would tell me like something that she was struggling with or I'd had a really tough day, she would say, oh, but I trust God for it, so it doesn't matter. And that just struck me as well, thinking when I think something's tough or I'm having a bad day, I can have the same attitude as her and think, oh, I trust God for all of it, so it doesn't matter. And even though her situation is much tougher than my situation, we still have the same God to turn to. And I just was really, really inspired by her. Another button, funny moments and church.
So church, we had the choice to choose between four different churches. But we chose this one because it was really welcoming to us. There was a man who always used to come up and try and find the Bible verses every time there was a reference from the sermon, even when we'd already found it. So he was really nice. They also offered to translate into French, but none of us spoke Mozambican French with a Mozambican accent. But we just loved being at the church, and they were really lovely to us.
The church also put on a couple of things. So just after Christmas, Alex, Rebecca and I went to a shared meal of rice and beans, which had some chicken as well, because it was a special occasion. So we just went along to that, and they just provided for us, which is really cool. And the picture on the right is us with the pastor, the assistant pastor, I think, and the guy who was on the door. So that was on our last day at church, wearing a matching cap on us.
And they also taught us how to dance. None of us can dance, and we still don't think we can dance at all. But we would go every Saturday to the youth club, and they would teach us dances and songs in Portuguese and sometimes in the local language as well. And then on the last couple of Saturdays, we taught them a song in English, so we taught them Happy Day. And then we performed all of them on the last Sunday. And originally, we were at the back so that, you know, we could follow their feet, so we didn't have to be at the front. And then they all suddenly started moving backwards, and we were like, what's happening? We didn't plan this. And they had pushed us right to the front, so we were the ones leading the last dance, which was an amazing experience when all of, like, the whole church was up clapping, and, like, they do this weird noise that none of us can replicate, but it's very African. So it just felt amazing to be a part of their church, and they really accepted us. And now the final button, which is funny moments. So we had quite an embarrassing moment where we were trying to explain to the kids at the holiday club that Jack and I had climbed up a coconut tree and managed to get a few coconuts off. But what we didn't realise was that the word for coconut and poo are pretty much identical in Portuguese. So they thought we'd said we climbed up a poo tree, and they were all killing themselves laughing. So coconut is coco, and poo is coco. Very similar.
One day, we'd all gone swimming in the sea, and on the way back from the beach, Jack and I were walking back with our shirts off, and but when we were on the main road, the people started beeping us, and they were giving us really funny looks in their cars, and we realised that, yes, you should never walk back from the beach without your shirt on in Mozambique if you're white, because it's just, yeah, they just found it really offensive for some reason.
Alex and Andrew were by the side of the road feeling a bit thirsty one day, so they went to a little by the side of the road place to get a drink. So they asked for Fanta, they had their Fanta, and then they started walking away. And the lady went, no, come back here. You can't walk away with the bottle. So they had to stand there and drink this Fanta by the side of the road and like down this Fanta, because they had to give the bottle back to the lady who sold it to them.
When we were in South Africa one day, we got back to the house we were staying in, and we suddenly realised that the wraps we had for dinner were half eaten and our bread had gone. And we were just like, where has it gone? Has anyone eaten it? And we realised none of us had eaten it. And then as we looked round, we realised there were puddles of wee on the floor and bits of poo and a packet of biscuits just like out the window. And we'd realised that we'd left a window open and monkeys that we'd seen earlier that morning had managed to get into the house, eaten a lot of our food and just like caused all this mess. So we spent a couple of hours just scrubbing everywhere, making sure it was clean and making sure every other time we went outside the windows were all shut so we had no more monkeys intruding in our house.
So now I'm going to read a poem that I've written, which kind of has like a summary of the whole time of Mozambique. So it's called I Will Always Remember. I will always remember when we landed in Mozambique. From that moment on, we struggled with the heat. My assumptions of Africa disappeared as quickly as my skin colour was labelled as weird. I will always remember the beautiful beaches and palm trees, as well as the mangoes, which never failed to please, riding on the chapas, which were so tight, and the chapellas we took at night. I will always remember when four strangers became friends. With us, the adventure never ends. We look out for one another as if we were sister and brother. I will always remember the privilege of seeing South Africa twice and its incredible burgers for such a good price. Going on safari was amazing, and the waterfalls were breathtaking. I will always remember our program constantly changing, which was hard but also engaging. We learnt a lot of Portuguese, although at the start it was not a breeze. I will always remember the boys at the orphanage completing our assault course and eating rice and beans, which is their main food source. Going to school and never knowing what to expect, thus making it our most challenging project. I will always remember teaching the kids to dance Scottish style, since it made everyone smile. Despite the huge classes and language barrier, we loved Pepe and church just the way they were. I will always remember worshipping our Lord so loudly with just one drum. Church was a place where everyone was welcome, sweating through our clothes and dancing at the front as the music flows. I'll always remember how much my faith has grown, and I put my full trust in the one on the throne. The importance of hospitality, patience, and humility, as well as time with myself, the team, and God split equally between the three. But I will never forget when our time was cut short. We found ourselves back at the airport. We were confused and could not understand because we yearned to stay longer and were still not tanned. Little did we know God protected us from the get-go. Barrow was destroyed by Cyclone Idai, leaving us broken and asking why. They already had so little to start, and now to see it all gone breaks my heart. The city can barely cope. Every day they're seeking God's hope. Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 10. This was our team Bible verse throughout our time in Mozambique. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So as Andrew said, our reading today, Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10, were our team Bible verses. So we chose these in September before we left. We didn't spend a huge amount of time looking through the Bible trying to find a verse, but we did feel like that God led us towards these verses, and they've definitely come to be true as we have been away. God has been there to guide us, and he has held us, but these verses don't just apply to us. How do they apply to my life back in the UK? And how do the verses apply to your life as well? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. The words that stood out to me and jumped out first when I read these were your right hand will hold me fast. God's right hand often symbolizes his power. God can do things that we didn't expect him to do, or we didn't think that they were possible. And in these verses, the psalmist or the person who wrote them said that they will be protected by God in the future, and he might do seemingly impossible things in their life. In the future, God will do impossible things. Now, I wouldn't say that Alex is really kind and she'll be kind to me in the future unless she's been kind to me before. Or someone has said to me, Alex is kind, look what she did for me. She gave me some of her chips when I was hungry. She gave me her TGI Fridays burger. She gave me a hug when I was sad. So I think the person that wrote this psalm must have already experienced God in their life, looking after them And maybe they've heard stories of how God has looked after other people. How has God been looking after you in your life? It is really good to share our stories of how God has looked after us, to encourage each other in our faith. And your stories that you have are really powerful and they're unique to you. Your story is really special and God has worked in your life. How has God looked after you so far? Because I'm wearing my bright and colourful shirt today, I thought I should tell my story from Mozambique. But God has worked as well in England through my life. So, our time in Mozambique, we went to South Africa in February to renew our visas. And we turned up to the consulate after driving for 17 hours the day before. And they said, no, you can't have visas. So we were a bit confused why that was. We didn't know why we weren't allowed to get our visas. So we just had to go home. We had to enjoy the rest of our holiday. So then we managed to get an extension to our visas for another 30 days on the border. So that was, yeah, a bit confusing. And at that time, Alex read out to us Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So that was something that we, over those 7 days, we really wrestled with and why we couldn't be there for any longer. So then we went back to Mozambique. We had a really intense month and we had to leave on the 4th of March. So we came back to the UK on the 4th of March. And then 10 days later, the cyclone hit on the 14th of March in Beira, which is where we were. So that was, for us, a really answered prayer of why God took us out of that situation, because we wouldn't have been helpful in that situation. We would have just been another lot of people caught up in the disaster, and BMS would have paid a lot of money to get us out a week later when the flights resumed. But we also really think that God protected the people in Mozambique, in Beira specifically. The damage was, so 90% of the buildings in Beira were destroyed, but there were only 600 people that were killed overall in the disaster, which is quite small compared to how large this was. So on the right, there's a picture of the main road in and out of Beira, completely cut off by the cyclone. Another little story, this is the church building project that the church that we went to were doing. They were trying to make a building that was bigger, a building that they could have more people to come and worship in. And they'd been building this for 5 years. So the assistant pastor was spending every single day building this. He would just spend his whole day there. And this is what it looked like afterwards. So completely destroyed. And they'd been building it for 5 years. So we were really shocked and saddened by this disaster. But there is like good news. It's been 2 months since this has happened. And they're starting to rebuild. So this is the roof of the church. It was completely destroyed. But now they're building it up again. BMS is specifically handing out food aid boxes. They're preparing them in the capital, Maputo, and then sending them up to Beira to give out there. We've seen our supervisor, Sergio, handing out these boxes, and the team leader, Carlos, also helping with that. So that was just something that God protected us, and he did protect the people there as well. But I just wanted to share that story with you. And our story definitely had God in it. He worked in a way that we never could have thought of. He protected us when we didn't even know we needed to be protected. And he did it in a way that was powerful beyond what we could imagine. The whole visa system changed in Mozambique the week before we went to go and get our visas. And that just shows how powerful God is. In Isaiah 41, God promises his people, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." He was talking to the Jews that had been in exile, held captive by a group of people called the Babylonians. He promised them that he would strengthen them. He will help them. He said, "Don't be discouraged. Don't be sad and worried about your future, because I will protect you with my right hand." Now, I think God didn't just want to say this to the Jewish people at the time when they were exiled, but I think he wants to tell us today as well to not be worried or discouraged when we don't know what will happen next. Like us, when we were in Beira, we didn't know what was going to happen next. But to look to him and turn to him and know that he will look after us. We are strong with God by our side. When we let God into our lives, he makes us strong. A man named Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament in the Bible, said that he could do all things through Christ who gives him strength. Paul knew that with God by his side, with the Holy Spirit in his life, he could do anything. I would love to be someone who really knew this to be true in my life. And I do know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But I want to make sure that every day I wake up and allow God to do that in my life. I think that I need to personally let God into my life a bit more. I need to let him into the decisions I make. Whether they're big decisions or small decisions, I need to let him make those decisions and let his spirit lead me in those decisions. I need to spend more time with God, with no agenda, just being in his presence. Do any of those things resonate to you? Do you need to spend more time with God, letting him help you with your decisions? See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that God told him, "My power works best in your weakness." When we are vulnerable to God, when we give him our lives, at everything we do, he will make us strong. He will do really cool things in our lives if we let him do it. In the psalm that we read, it says, "Even on the far side of the sea, your hand will guide me." For some people, the far side of the sea doesn't mean going to Australia, doesn't mean going to Mozambique. It means facing the things that you're struggling with today. And there, God will guide you and he will help you. There are many difficult places in our lives. And for me, when I was younger, I really struggled with exams. And when I was doing my equivalent of NAT5s, but in England, I struggled. I was sick before every single exam. In my mock exams, I just struggled to do them. I was sick before every exam. But then when it got to the real exams, I prayed really hard to God, and I said that I can't do it on my own. And he was really in that. And I wasn't sick before any of my exams. So God really helped me in that. But he would have equally helped me if I'd let him in control in the first place. So as soon as I let him in control, he helped me and he sustained me. Likewise, when I say to God today, "I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to do the things that you want me to do today," God helps me to have a good day. When he directs my day, it is much better than when I just wake up and decide to have breakfast, then do what I want for the rest of the day. And this is what I would call having a missional lifestyle. Putting God first and letting him decide what every day involves. For us in Mozambique, it was a little bit easier to let God have control because we didn't have anything else to do. We didn't have any busy things that we could get on with other than trusting in God. We didn't have a lot of distractions that there can be in the UK. And I've realized coming back to the UK, I decide to go on my phone quite a lot of the time. I decide to watch films, go on Netflix. And so I wake up, I go on my phone straight away, and I can easily decide that I'll go and buy this or go and do that, or go and see my friends, or do this, or do what I want to do. And with the knowledge that we have, it's often easy just to do this and think that we can do everything ourselves. But actually, for me, this has meant that God can't work in my life as much. He's with us when we're at the supermarket. He's with me when I'm on the bus. He's with me in the car. But these moments, do we let God speak to us, or are we thinking about other things? It could be that in places where we feel normal, God wants to do unnormal things. He might tell us to speak to someone who is lonely. He might tell us to change direction when we are driving to go and see someone else that needs to speak to us today. God wants to be in every second of our lives, but I know personally that I need to let him in more. I need to spend time at the start and at the end of each day to let him talk to me. I need to read the Bible. I need to learn more about God and to read the words that he says. I need to give up my desires for the day and say, "God, put in my heart the things that you want me to do today. I want to do what you want today." What better way is there to live than to live asking God what to do every day? Asking the creator of the universe, "What shall I do today? What do you want me to do? How can I help other people get to know you? Teach me something new today, God." So another prophet, Elijah, had a pretty good relationship with God. In 1 Kings 17, he listened to God and did what he told him to do. God said, "Go and live near a brook for a while." So he did. He drank from the brook, and ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I think that's quite cool that God every day flew in some food for him every morning. Elijah gave his life to God, and God provided for him. He didn't need anything more than God gave him, and he lived in relationship with God. So there's one more thing that I want to focus on before we finish, and that is when God calls us to go, we've worked out that God is for us, God will protect us, and that he works best in our weakness. And all of these things are great, but I believe this allows us to go out and live a life that is uncertain, and when we don't know exactly what will happen. But we do know that God will be with us. As Christians, we know a lot about God, a lot about the Bible, but we're not always good at sharing the gospel to other people, or we don't know how to do that. Unless you're really passionate about street preaching, I'm not really encouraging you to do that this morning. But I think we need to look outwards a little bit more. I know that I do, to look to my family and friends and ask God, how can I show them what you've done for me in my life? We're the best people to talk about Jesus to our friends and our family. God's put them in our lives so that we can talk to them. Nobody else knows them as best as we do. And it is hard and it is embarrassing at times, because what if they laugh at me? What if they decide they don't want to hear any more from me? But God has told us to go. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and fish for people. I'd encourage you today to step out in faith, to grow closer to Jesus, and to do the uncomfortable things that he asks you to do, because you know that he is good and he will be with you. God was with us when we were in Mozambique, and I know that he is with us now, and he will be with me when I start university in September. He was with you, he is still with you, and he will be with you. So shall we finish in prayer? Lord, thank you for how you've been in my life. Thank you for all the things you have done for me and the ways you have protected me without my knowledge. I give my life to you today and ask that you would challenge me to be more like you, to do the things you want me to do. Your provision will be with me wherever I go. Thank you that you go before me and you are always there beside me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we still mourn for the country you created and the people you love. But we thank you for the rebuilding already happening in Mozambique, and we pray for it to continue. Lord, even though the city is destroyed, we give thanks for the fact that the people aren't. Help us to learn from the incredible sense of community and care that Mozambicans show to one another. Please also comfort those who have lost their family and livelihoods. Thank you for all the aid teams and each person who is giving time and money to help those in need. We ask for your wisdom as to what to rebuild first, and that this tragic cyclone can be turned into good through you. Use it as an opportunity to share your love and hope with others. We pray too for the people of St. Thomas's. Give renewed strength to all those who are tired, healing to those who are ill, and peace to those enduring a period of stress or uncertainty. Give us all courage this week as we live out each day for you. Help us to be bold in our faith, persistent in our prayers, and kind in our actions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you so much for Alex and for Andrew, for Jack and for Rebecca. Thank you for the way that you led them to Mozambique. Thank you for the way that you helped them while they were there serving. Thank you too that you protected them. We're very, very mindful of how things are in Beira and in large parts of Southern Africa right now. And we grieve with those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. But this morning, we give you thanks for the way in which you brought this team out earlier than they should have come out. And we want to pray for them. We thank you for what they've shared with us over the last week, for the encouragements that they've brought, for the joy and the fun that we see in them, for the love that they have for you and the love of others. Thank you that you've made them a strong team and helped them to work together really well. We've seen that this morning. And we give you thanks for that model that we've been given as well. But we pray for them this week as they go to Dunfermline. We pray for all the hard work that they're going to do. They're going to do a lot in schools. We pray that there would be individuals there that they connect with, who hear about Jesus maybe for the first time, and that you begin a work and maybe bring to fruition a work already begun in the hearts and minds of some young people. We pray for the church that they'll be working with, that they will be blessed as we have been blessed by them being with us. And we pray for them too as they get ready for the next stage of their life. This team will break up shortly and they'll move on to the next things that you have for them. So we pray great blessing on them and clarity for them as they begin work, as they begin studies, that they would know your peace and your help. And all that you've given to them in the last year would go on coming into memory in the years to come. And that their love for you would grow and their service to you would grow too. So bless them, we pray, and bless us in all that we've heard this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.